You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the action at Redcar, Kempton and Windsor on this edition. Sam Norris here in the chair with Will Smith picking out his four best bets for the races that we're covering. We're also racing at Leicester in the evening. There's an Irish card at Killarney and we've got a card at Brighton as well on the level. So plenty to enjoy on Monday. You can join the team in the studio from 1:50pm. But first things first, it's a very warm welcome to Will Smith. How are you, Will?
Good afternoon. Very good. Thank you. Yourself?
Good stuff. Yeah.
Good.
I'm not too bad at all. Enjoyed the racing. I know you're predominantly a jumps fan.
Yes.
But are you warming to the flat this season?
Yeah, I pigeonhole myself too much, I think, now. It's something that I grew up on, jump stuff. And then, obviously, the more I've got into racing, the more, you know, you just have to watch everything, don't you? Because there are punting opportunities all over the place. So, the flat stuff is really kicking off, and it's this is the first year where I've actually got semi enthusiastic about the flat stuff,
right,
which is extraordinary for me because normally I'm just completely jumps and jumps orientated. But no, it was interesting stuff yesterday, wasn't it? Certainly Newbury, there are a couple of interesting stories, interesting sort of footnotes, and then some tricky fare around the country as well over the course of the weekend as well. I seem to get most things wrong on Saturday, which is it can sometimes happen, but
yeah,
thankfully that's been a rarity of late.
Yeah, good stuff. Let's reflect then on some of the action at Newbury. We'll start with the feature race of the day. This is of course the Lockinge, the Group 1 over a mile, and looked a fairly deep renewal this year. I don't think we had any superstars on display necessarily, but it was a competitive heat. Godolphin had plenty of darts at the board in this one. Fortunately for them, one of them has managed to come out on top in the shape of Bilardo, who ended up the winner by a length over Euro Charlene. Obviously disappointed massively at Sandown on seasonal reappearance when Tormor beat him, but this was the run that we almost expected of him at Sandown. It sort of come the wrong way round, if you like. I expected more of him at Sandown, and now he's produce the performance we expected in the Lockinge.
Yeah, it's probably taken Roger Varian and connections a good sort of 18 months to probably fully work him out. And it was very, very interesting that the first time that Andrea Zaini gets back on board, he produces the footnote, the sparkling performance of his career. He promised so much as a two-year-old, and then as a three-year-old, he flattered to deceive somewhat.
Yeah.
And then, as you say, at Sandown, he probably was a little bit too far out of his ground in a race where it seemed to be, you know, pay to be prominent, as Tormor was. And in effect, Tormor eventually won that race. And then Tormor was probably put in his place yesterday, which is about where he is, you'd fancy. I think Bilardo is, they've always thought he's a very, very good horse, and was probably the number one of, even though Tormor carried the number one Godolphin colours, Bilardo, I think, was always hoped to be the number one in that particular race, but he hadn't proved it as yet. Whereas yesterday he proved the ability that Roger Varian has always believed is actually there. And he was given a great ride by Andrea Zaini, who is now won four times on the horse, three times as a two-year-old.
Yeah, correct. We saw another use of the pacemaker yesterday by Godolphin as well, which didn't work in Bilardo's favour at Sandown. I mean, of course, would Tormor win if the same connection, it didn't matter so much. But
yeah,
I remember you saying yesterday, well, the pacemaker yesterday, God bless him, just looked exactly what he was, an 80 horse in a Group One.
Yeah.
Led them for as long as he could, but eventually the rest of them were like,
yeah, we only led him for about three furlongs, I think.
Exactly,
so it was almost ineffectual.
Yeah.
You'd probably prefer a horse to be rated sort of mid-90s, maybe, to an exposed mid-90s horse that can at least take them for,
you've got to be going
well
sort of five or six furlongs at
you
least
think so.
to sort of tow them along.
Yeah, I guess what they wanted was, in some respects, they probably just wanted the first section of the race to be not a muddle.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone looking around to see what's going to go on and what's happening around them. And it was just to ensure that the race started off in the right kind of manner, I guess. Mm. And then once they were all at their cruising speeds and you know, settled into the race, then that... then it was up to the jockeys to then play their hands as they saw accordingly, and it just allowed Andrea Zaini to settle his mount for the first quarter to a third of the race. And in that respect, they probably did do that job. They poor Barchan is going to be shot to bits if he ever has to do this thing again.
Indeed, a word on the second as well, Will. Euro Charlene, who led them for quite a long way, and she looks a tremendously game mare.
Yeah, well, she's probably improving as well. She was a good second in the big race at Maidan, the Dubai Turf race there behind Real Steel. So Ryan Moore rode Real Steel in that race back in March, and Euro Charlene had Frankie Dettori on board with Trista, the very, very good horse, and Ertigal back in fourth in that race. So her form was very, very good coming into the race. I think Ryan Moore was just a little bit worried beforehand about the ground. I think if the ground were genuinely fast yesterday or on Saturday, then I think the placings might well have been reversed, because she really bounces off fast ground, and she's won a Beverly D over at Arlington on real firm ground. So she was probably slightly unlucky the way that the ground went, but she ran a cracker of a race again. I'm sure Marco Botti can look forward to another sort of jet-setting 12 months with his mare.
Yeah, she's a nice horse. Elsewhere at Newbury then on Saturday, it was a good day all round for the boys in blue. Logout Island took down the Listed Stakes. And I just want to get your opinion on this one, Will, because it was a very interesting race the way that it played out. James Doyle sort of went for home almost as soon as they come out of the boxes. The other jockeys allowed him almost an 8, 9, 10 length lead, and a couple of them in behind ended up finishing quite well, particularly the second Remarkable, but they let James Doyle sort of have the run of the race and run it however he saw fit.
Yeah, well, Logout Island's an interesting horse, because he made a real impression on his debut last year at Ascot over 5 furlongs, and then he went to contest the Norfolk Stakes, and him and his stablemate King of Rooks basically cut each other's throat in that race, and it put paid actually to King of Rooks' season. Logout Island, Richard Hannon managed to sort of coax him back. It looked like it had put paid to his season too, but he coaxed him back to eventually win the Red Car 2-year-old trophy. So he probably was a little bit more happy going into this season as a 3-year-old than what he was with King of Rooks, and as a result, I mean, James Doyle, I wouldn't say he grasped the nettle somewhat. His horse was almost settled going the pace he wanted to go, and that
comments,
was just very fast.
Yeah, exactly. The comments after the race as well from James Doyle, and he was quoted as saying, "I didn't realise how quick we were going."
Yeah.
So I don't know whether it was a specific tactic of James Doyle to go hammer and tongue. He just seemed a lot quicker than his rival.
Well, I think given the way the horse was early last season, that was exactly how he raced, and that was how he won his debut at Ascot, and that was how he raced in the Norfolk Stakes as well. So, I mean, in a Group 2 two-year-old race at Royal Ascot, he led the field for a long, long way. So he's a very fast horse. And so in that respect, he was only doing what was sort of expected of him, and he clearly is back to something like what he was as an early two-year-old. Maybe he's the kind of horse that you need to catch early, because he's this real sort of effervescent, fizzy type. I mean, interestingly, he wore the first time hood yesterday, but I don't think that had much of an effect really, because he still set a real trailblazing gallop. So, I mean, credit to James Doyle for not trying to rein him back. He just let him go. And also, you know, the jockeys in behind, they perhaps thought that Logout Island wouldn't have trained on as a 3-year-old, given what a tough time he had as a 2-year-old. So you can understand why they might have been thinking, oh, he's going to come back because he's not the horse he was. But clearly, he is.
Yeah, indeed. With those jockeys in behind, that they'll be a lot of people keen to level immediate criticism at those jockeys for allowing, you know, a decent horse in like Ireland such a lead over such a short distance.
Yeah,
are those critics right in their assessment? Is it too presumptuous of them to expect the horse to come back and, you know, over 6 furlongs? You can't. Yeah. You wouldn't really want to be giving any horse that kind of lead over such a short trip.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't, definitely. But equally, even if they were trying to stay, you know, 3 or 4 lengths behind him, they might well have used up their horse because they'd be going too fast for the horse they're actually on. So in some respects, it looks bad, but equally, I mean, Log Out Ireland on ratings as well was the best of them, even though he'd had a sort of poor-ish back end to the season. So he was still the highest rated horse in the race. And if you go back to his form, as I say, as an early 2-year-old, he had every right to do that kind of thing. There were some good horses in there. Obviously, the likes of Dream Dubai and Daman had shown decent form recently, but they certainly hadn't shown anything like the form that Log Out Ireland showed, you know, in his first 2 runs last year. So in that respect, he's done not quite what he was entitled to do, but it was probably 80%. Being a good horse, 20% perhaps tactics playing a part.
Yeah, indeed. A good day all round, though, for the Godolphin operation on Saturday. We'll move on to matters on Monday. Now, we've got 4 races to pick out, and Will is going to offer up his selections for all 4. But we begin with the jumping card at Kempton, and we start with a 3 o'clock. This is a novices handicap chase over 2.25 miles. 9 runners are lined up to take their chance in this one. What's on the mind here?
It's slightly simple one, really. Valser de Granville, a horse who he joined Tom George in the late summer of 2013, a couple of years ago, and he was off the track for a while, and had put in a number of eye-catching performances on softer ground, which, being a French bred, you fancied might well have suited him. But it was really the last race at Toaster that he took apart the field, really. Novice handicap chase there off a mark of 106. He gets in here under the statutory penalty. If he had the penalty in that race last time, he would have won as he pleased as well. And I think this is a very similar kind of race. It might just be slightly stronger. Obviously, Kempton to Toaster, you fancy the Kempton handicap chase form might just be a slightly stronger version. But there's a few horses in there with one or two doubts about them, and I just think the race could be run nicely to suit him. He'll get into a nice rhythm. He'll be able to travel prominently and slipstream a couple of those that go forward. And assuming he's, you know, received a huge confidence boost from that Toaster win, I have every right to believe that he's going to go in again.
Okay, Valser de Granville then for Tom George, and Paddy Brennan gets the choice of Will in the 3 o'clock. We move on to the 3:35 at Kempton, the next race on their card, and obviously handicap hurdle for us this time. 2 mile, 5 furlong is the trip facing the 10 runners. What did you like in this field?
It's slightly more trappy this race. There's a couple of, two Nicky Henderson trained handicap debutants. There's a John Joe O'Neill trained handicap debutant wearing first time blinkers, and by a sire called Walk in the Park, who is the sire of Min and Duvan, as probably everyone knows by now. So there's one or two horses lurking that might suddenly just spring into life. Neil Mulholland, who is going so well of late, he's got a handicap debutant as well. And, you know, when you see trainers like that having handicap debutants on good ground, where most of them have been racing on softish ground over the course of the winter, you think, oh, you know, probably a race to be slightly wary of, because you're not quite sure what they're going to find or what improvement they're going to suddenly find. But the horse that sort of stands out as being in form, coming from an in-form stable, and you know is at least competitive off this kind of mark, is 3 Balmy Men for Jeremy Scott, who his handicap debut actually came at the course a couple of weeks ago over a trip half a mile shy of this, over 2 miles, and the way he went through that race suggested the step up to this 2.5 mile trip will very much suit him. He chased home a horse called Artifice Savola of Lucy Wadhams, who is a very progressive handicap chaser and was trying to take advantage of a quite a lenient handicap hurdle mark. He duly did so. The third horse, Ladies Dancing, on that occasion had run pretty consistent races off that kind of mark previous to that. So it's solid handicap form, and I think the extra half mile will suit Jeremy Scott's gelding, and Jeremy Scott's horses are going very, very well. He's had a couple of winners in the last few days. Price-wise, you'd probably expect him to hopefully be in each way price, given that there's one or two likely types. The bookies might be slightly wary maybe of a few of them, so they might be priced on the lower side of where they perhaps should be, whereas hopefully with Jeremy Scott's gelding, we might get a nice each way price.
Okay, three Balmy men then is the pick in the 3.35 at Kempton. We move on to some flat races now. We begin with the 3.55 at Redcar. This is a 5 furlong handicap. 10 runners go down for this. Should be pretty quick ground at Redcar on Monday as well. Will, that's got to come into the thinking.
Yeah, definitely. So the horse that I'm going to plump for loves quick ground. There's one at Bath on firm ground, which at Bath they can't water generally. So their ground is invariably pretty quick. It's a horse called Grand Beauty of Robert Cowles. Now, obviously, any sprinter trained by Robert Cowles, whether it be a listed class sprinter or even a handicapper, you have to take note because he does seem to do so well with them. She then went to Ascot to the listed race at the back end of last season. Probably disappointed somewhat there, though that might have been a bridge too far, having just won a handicap off 77. But clearly, Robert Cowles felt she was pretty good. She's then been put away and she reappeared at Chelmsford in a handicap at the start of this month. Ran with credit, ran as if the race might well bring her on. She's probably tightened up a little bit for that. She's only £7 higher than for her Bath romp, and I think she has every chance of showing the experience of that Chelmsford reappearance to go very well in a race where a few of the others are struggling for a bit of form. One or two of them could pop up at some stage, but with sprinters it's very much a guessing game as to when they will. We know Grand Beauty is could still be well treated, and she'll be fit enough after her reappearance.
Grand Beauty then is the pick for Robert Cowles and Richard Kingscote. We move on to the final race on today's podcast then. This comes up in the shape of the 8 o'clock at Windsor, a handicap here over a mile and 3 furlongs. Just 7 runners go down for this one, so only 2 places to aim at. But one or two horses bringing a good level of form into the race, Will.
Yes, they are. You have to respect George Baker's Barwick at the top. He seems to be in good form. One for George Baker on his first start for him at Epsom on soft ground over the Derby trip there in a handicap. He's gone up £5 as a result of that, so he's up to a career high mark now. And a lot of his winning has been on softer ground. It's going to be getting towards the far side at Windsor, so I think that's probably rules him out. And there's a few others in here as well that would prefer soft ground. One horse that that probably doesn't, though we're not entirely sure because it's only run 4 times in its career, is Cape Discovery for Richard Hughes. Obviously, Richard Hughes was a master at riding Windsor, a master at riding most places, but he inherited this horse off John Joseph Murphy after it won a Dundalk Mile maiden. He then went to Windsor for a 10 furlong handicap off a mark of 80. He was sent off 20-1, which you fancy. Richard Hughes is pretty shrewd, knows the time of day. If he'd fancied this horse, it wouldn't have been 20-1. But it duly went and won pretty cosily. And the comments afterwards were that, I think Richard Hughes said the horse had only just done enough to sort of have a run, and then we'd look at that run and see where we are with him. So the fact that he went and won is a real good sign. He's only gone up £3 of that because he did it quite cosily. The extra 2 furlongs on the way he went through that race here should well suit, and I see every reason to believe that he'll put in an even better performance than last time, and it's probably a weaker race than what he contested last time, so he's got every chance of going in again.
Okay, Cape Discovery then is the choice of Will, bidding to get the hat-trick up at Windsor at 8 o'clock on Monday. Just give us a quick recap then, please, of your 4 fancies for the 4 races that we've looked at on today's podcast.
Yep, so at Kempton, the 3 o'clock, I think, can go to Tom George's Valseur de Grandval, the ex French bred horse who won so easily at Toaster, can follow up under the penalty. The 3.35 can be taken by Jeremy Scott's 3 Balmy Men to confirm the promise of his handicap debut last time. Over at Redcar, the 3.55, the sprint handicap. Any sprint handicap, you have to pay any respect to Robert Cowles. Anything he runs, Grand Beauty, and I think she can step up on her reappearance run. And finally, Windsor, deep into the evening at 8 o'clock. I go for Richard Hughes's Cape Discovery to win his second handicap start, having won his handicap debut.
Okay, there we are. You've been listening to the thoughts of Will Smith ahead of the action on Monday, and be sure to join us here on William Hill's Racing Radio, where we'll have all of the action covered on Monday afternoon and right the way through until they've weighed in at the last. Thank you very much for that, Will, and best of luck on Monday.
Thank you. Enjoy.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.